If you've ever entered a commercial beer competition and been left wondering, what do these scores even mean? Or worse still, what does this judge feedback even mean? Then you need to hear this. Today, I'm breaking down real judge feedback from a commercial beer competition with one of the members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy, Dean from Psycho Susie's Brewing. This is one of the most honest and eye-opening videos I think that I've ever recorded, and it's really going to give you an insight into how commercial beer competition judging works. I'm going to break down what influences your scores the most, and I'm going to give you the hint. It's not always your beer recipe. So if you finally want to crack the code on how to enter and win at commercial beer competitions, hit that like and subscribe button, stick around, and watch this. G'day brewers, welcome to the Quality Focus Pro Brewers podcast. My name is Hendo and I am a pro brewer coach from the Rockstar Brewer Academy. Today, a very special episode of the Quality Focus Pro Brewers podcast because for the first time, I've actually got a member of the Rockstar Brewer Academy here with me today, and we're going to talk about commercial beer competitions and the judge feedback, and we're actually going to go through some judge feedback from a recent competition here in my hometown of Brisbane, Australia. And we're going to decipher some feedback, and we're going to feed that back into some actual beer improvements and that sort of thing. So I just want to say, g'day, Dean. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. Yourself?
I'm going very good. Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about your brewery, the name of your brewery, where you're from, how long you've been running, and a little bit about your system.
Beauty. So we're Psycho Susie's Brewing. We're about two and a half hours west of Brisbane on the way to Stanthorpe. Only brewery in town, so we're a bit of a destination brewery. And we're coming up on our third year of operation. So it's been a bit of a slog getting this far, but onwards and upwards.
Awesome, mate. And so how long have you been in the Rockstar Brewer Academy now?
It would be just shy of 12 months.
Yeah, just shy of 12 months. Yeah, it's awesome.
About this time last year.
Yeah, awesome. And so what was your original motivation for joining the Rockstar Brewer Academy?
We would make these absolutely phenomenal beers. Like last year, we won silver at the Royal Queensland Beer Awards for one beer. And I was absolutely petrified at making it again because just the consistency there, like our beers were not consistent. And just trying to figure out the processes of how to get the beers from being down here and then up here and back to here to just hitting that level plane heading upwards.
Yeah, gotcha. Mate, it's really good to have you on the show today. One of the things that we do at the Rockstar Brewer Academy is we're very heavily focused on getting judge feedback from commercial beer competitions. Now, there are a lot of beer competitions all over the world that members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy participate in. The reason why we have such a strong focus on entering commercial beer competitions is that it is basically the best way to get objective feedback as to the standard of your beer and how your beer is tracking from a quality and consistency perspective, because it's a challenge. If Dean, you're operating a brewery and that sort of thing, traditionally, where have you gotten feedback about the standard of your beers in the past?
Literally the punters. And yeah, it's not the punters, it's my own feedback and going off what I know, what I taste. And that's literally it. But you give your beers, give it to your parents, give it to your family, but there's nothing actually constructive in it.
Yeah, 100%. It's basically when you're getting feedback as a professional brewer, you want to know how your beers are tracking over time. And traditionally, getting feedback from the end consumer, although it's very accessible and very timely, almost all consumers don't have a beer sensory background. And so basically what you get from a consumer is a subjective feedback, which is basically either I like the beer or I don't like the beer. And that doesn't give you much with regards to feedback from a production and process perspective. Yep. The other place that you may have gotten feedback from before would be fellow industry peers or fellow brewers in the industry. Have you done that before and how's that worked out?
Yes. So we've got a couple of good friends in Brisbane and surrounding areas. Sometimes you would find it would be quite harsh and almost personal. At other times it'd be very constructive, very helpful. but it was hard then to apply it. We're such a small system. We're a 200-liter system. Scaling the processes down from a 6-hect, 8-hect system down to us isn't always viable. So it's hard getting that the constraints down to it, but it's always getting anything off a professional brewer is always helpful. And you just have to tweak it to what works for you.
Have you found, like, when you're talking to other industry peers about objective feedback about your beer, that you feel like that they hold back, that they don't want to give you the bad news?
50% of the time. Sometimes they're blunt as hell, and I'll tell you it's shit.
Yeah.
And then other times, yeah, you can feel, especially like the guys you get along with, guys and girls you get along with really well, they don't want to hurt your feelings. And sometimes your feelings need to be hurt because it's not a personal attack. It's they're trying to get you to make your beers better or what they perceive as better as well.
Yeah.
And so you have to take that on board.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are some pros from getting feedback from another professional brewer in the industry in that you'll get some more technical kind of advice and that sort of thing. But from your perspective, your challenge is that sometimes people either hold back and don't give you all of the bad news and the stuff that you need to know and want to know,
yep,
or they give it to you too hard and it becomes personal and that sort of thing. Yep. Which kind of leads to the third way that a brewer can get feedback, which is entering commercial beer competitions. A lot of brewers choose not to enter commercial beer competitions because they'll cite lots of reasons like, oh, it's expensive. Oh, I don't brew a beer to a certain style and lots of other reasons, that sort of thing. But I think, honestly, a lot of brewers don't enter commercial beer competitions because they're scared of getting the feedback a lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of times, that sort of thing.
Yep.
You said that you'd entered the Royal Queensland Beer Awards last year. Was that your first time entering a commercial beer competition?
Second year. So this is the new event.
Yeah, awesome. And did you have any, like, before you entered your first commercial beer competition, what was your perception of beer competitions? Did you have any sort of sense of trepidation, or you were like, oh, let's just give this a go and see what happens? What was going through your mind the first time?
That was pretty much it. The first year, I had no idea about brewery competitions. It was a big sort of step into the unknown for us. And it was pretty much just enter what we think is our best beer. So I think we entered four beers our first year, and they're all the biggest sellers. And yeah, so the feedback was not great. Mm-hmm. It was good feedback. There was like picking up things like oxidization, diastole, things at that point in time where I had no grasp of the consistency and the testing on seeing if it was in there. And it really opened my eyes to not doing enough, need to really refine the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And did that help after the first time you entered the competition?
The first time was a bit of a shock, because we were very, like, the brewery itself was very young, and the first 12 months of the brewery is the hardest, where you've got no money. Not that we've got money now, but week to week is what you're living on. And to find out your beers are nowhere near the level that you perceive them at. Yeah, it was a real shock to the system. And it did help. It really, while it knocked me down to start with, and it's like, okay, well, these people wouldn't be in this position to give the feedback if the feedback isn't accurate. So take the emotional aspect out of it and see what you can do with that feedback to try and prove them wrong next year.
Exactly. So we had a couple of beers at the Royal Queensland Beer Awards ceremony last Thursday, which was really good to see. And so basically, I might just quickly run through how this competition works. So the Royal Queensland Beer Awards, like a lot of competitions in Australia, commercial beer competitions worldwide, they are a way for you to get objective feedback about your beer, okay? So basically the judges are usually either brewers or sensory experts or industry experts and that sort of thing, and do have experience with regards to beer sensory. And when the competition takes place, the judges don't see the beer label, the brand. They don't know what brewery it's come from and that sort of thing, because there is a separation between the stewarding area and the judging area. So basically, if you can picture a big wall going through the middle of the judging area, on one side of the wall is the stewarding area where the stewards they will pull samples out of a refrigerated container, a cold room, and then they will pour the samples into glasses, which will then have their exhibit number on it, which is an obfuscated number. And then they'll get brought around the wall into the judging area. And then there are, at this competition, I think there are about 10 panels, each containing at least 5 judges. And on that panel of judges, you'll have one table captain or panel chair. In this competition, we had an assistant panel chair. You'll have a couple of judges, and then you'll have an associate judge. In this particular competition, I'm one of the chief judges, and we try to lift judge skills over time and make sure that judges get good feedback. But it's a little bit outside of the scope of this conversation. So basically what happens is from the perspective of a judge, they basically see a glass of beer, and then they have next to them a booklet containing all of the beer style guidelines. So you've probably heard of the BJCP or Beer Judge Certification Program style guidelines before. Commercial beer competitions generally are not judged under those style guidelines. Instead, they get judged under the Brewers Association style guidelines, which is basically a different set of style guidelines. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some commercial beer competitions around the world that are judged under BJCP, and that's totally fine. Competitions like the World Beer Cup and that sort of thing are usually judged under, and Australian International Beer Awards, etc., are judged under the Brewers Association or BA style guidelines. And I find those style guidelines to be more rote, as in they're just basically, instead of a big flowery description of the history of the style and that sort of thing, as you'll find under the BJCP style guidelines, you'll just get hop aroma is medium and will be citrus or pine or something like that, right? So it's much less flowery and that sort of thing. In many of the competitions in Australia, the scoring system and the way in which medals are awarded is very much more like a wine competition. So in a lot of competitions in Australia, beers are given a score out of 20. And the breakdown of those scores is 3 points are awarded for aroma, 3 points for appearance, 5 points for aroma, 6 points for flavor and body, 3 points for technical ability, and 3 points for adherence to style. Okay. And the other interesting thing in a lot of the competitions with this particular competition and also the Australian International Beer Awards competition is that gold medal, silver medal, and bronze medal doesn't mean first, second, and third. Okay, in the World Beer Cup, it is, but in this particular competition, if you get a certain number of points, then you will get a bronze, silver, or gold. So in this particular competition, from 14 to 15.5 points is a bronze medal, 15.5 to 17 is a silver medal, and 17 and above is a gold medal. And what that basically means is that in this particular competition, there can be several gold medals or none. There can be several silver medals or none, and there can be several bronze medals or none, okay? And that's how the competitions basically work. And then what happens is, okay, so now we need to determine who's the best of the best. All of the gold medal winning beers go through to a trophy round, and the styles are broken up into pale ale, IPA, lager, European style beer, hybrid beer, all that sort of stuff. And a lot of styles are grouped together, and then they pick the best of the best from that, and that becomes the trophy winning beer. Okay, that's essentially first place. All right, beers are judged against the BA style guidelines. So if you're a brewer and you've never entered a commercial beer competition before, you got to make sure you put your beer into the right style class, because, and don't let your marketing department do it, because they will fuck it up. You're the brewer. You might not think that you brew beer to a style, but I guarantee you, you do. And there is a BA style guideline for the beer that you brew. Okay. Don't poo-poo it. There is a style. It exists. Okay. Even if it's a freestyle style, they exist as well. All right. So when the competition is over, each brewer gets sent a PDF of their score and that sort of thing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen. And so if you're listening on the podcast, I'm going to do my best to describe what's on the screen here. And we will basically do our best to describe everything that's going on. Now, you can see that on your screen there, can't you, Dean?
Yep.
Beautiful. Okay. So what I've got here is this chart that's in front of me is like a bar chart that shows from 0 to 10. And it basically describes where your beer sits in its score compared to the median and within the range. So there's, you'll see here that there is a gray area here, and that is the range from bottom to top score. Okay. Then you can see the red bar going through the middle, and that is your score. And then you've got the blue bar going through the gray area, and that sets out the median score, which means where the most, it's another way to do average and that sort of thing. Okay. And you can see if I scroll down here, you can see appearance, aroma, flavor and body, technical quality and style. And we can see bar charts for each of those things. All right. For this particular beer, we can see this is your brewed ginger beer here, Fool's Gold. We can see that it scored 3 for appearance, 3.5 for aroma, 4 for flavor and body, 2 for technical quality and 2.5 for style for a total of 15. Being 15, that's a bronze medal because it's between 14 and 15.5. And then you'll see that there are some words from the judges that notes out their observations and how well the beer adheres to style. Now, I'm looking at the ginger beer here. I'm going to put the ginger beer outside of the scope of this and just stick to, so because to the first time in this competition, ginger beer was included. And we'll talk about that on a live coaching call because I actually wrote the style guideline. But let's stick to the beers. Is that okay, Dean?
Yep.
Okay. So the first thing that I do when I'm looking at judging feedback PDF is I'll quickly scan over and see what medals were awarded for the beers. And I can see you got no medal for the She'll Be Right Australian Pale Ale. You got a gold medal, 18 out of 20, for your chili beer, El Nino. Well done. Well done. You got Warwick Bitter, which is your contemporary American style light lager, which got a 16. That's a silver. Well done. And you got Warwick Hazy Pale, which was entered in the session beer, reduced alcohol beer. What was the base style for that?
The base style was the... Shit, it was a session. Yes, a juicy hazy.
Juicy hazy pale. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. Is that like 3.5% alcohol or something like that? Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Silver medal, 15.5. Well done. And then we've got our New World Lager, Kakarot. Have I pronounced that right?
That's it. Yep.
Kakarot. Yep. And that got a 13.5 no medal. Okay. All right. So there's quite a very different colors of medals that you got here, mate. So the next thing that I do after I've gone and done a quick scan of the score is I'm going to read out the comments that come back from the judges. And what we're going to look for is commonalities across the different beers. The reason that you want to do that is that it helps you to determine if there's something wrong with your process in some way. So for example, the really common ones that you'll find are oxidation. So if you see the judges say in all of your beers, oxidation, clearly there's an oxygen ingress issue in your brewery that needs to be addressed, okay? Some of the other common things that you find, we had a live coaching call earlier this week, and we had one of the brewers on that call, and all of his beers were noted as being astringent bitterness, a harsh bitterness, okay? And so we had a look at that, turned out was a bit of a tweak with water chemistry and bittering hop selection, all good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out the judge comments from each of your beers, see if we can't pick out some commonalities, and then finally what we'll do is we'll drill down and we'll make some comments and some suggestions around how to improve each of these beers. Sound like a plan?
Sounds good.
All right. So first beer we got here is the She'll Be Right Australian Style Pale Ale. So, and I'll actually bring up the style guidelines as well if we need it. So we've got here, color and clarity is good, but head retention is low. Diacetyl is too high for style and overpowers any hop characteristics. Beer is tired and shows signs of oxidation. Bitterness level is okay, but edging on astringent. Okay. All right. So we've got some diacetyl, we've got some oxidation and some bitterness astringency. All right. Let's have a look at the next one. That's your El Nino, the chili pepper beer. The judge's comments were, this is an 18 out of 20. Great deep red color with off-white head. Roast malt dominates the aroma with a hint of chocolate. Building warmth on the palate is not overpowering. Beer is a bit thin for style. Chili is well integrated. What was the base style for this beer?
That was a robust porter.
So it's a chili robust porter, basically, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So the first thing I noticed there is there's nothing in that comment that related to diastole or oxidation or anything like that. Okay, so that's good. Okay, so the next one is contemporary style American light lager, were it bitter? And that got a silver, 16. The judges' comments were, nice color and foam, but chill haze present. Good head retention with a cloying lace to the glass. Esters are present on the nose, as is sulfur. Light mouthfeel with a subtle malt corn sweetness. Dry finish with low bitterness. Well done, mate. And I've got an idea as to what's going on there. Brilliant. And the last one here is the Warwick Hazy Pale, which is a 3.5% hazy paler, basically. 15.5 out of 20, so that's a silver medal. Good color, haze and foam retention, a burnt or stewed hop character reminiscent of over-dry hopping or sitting on hops for too long. Balance is good for a reduced alcohol hazy with a fully fluffy texture and no hop burn. A little one-dimensional, lacking strong, juicy character. All right. So again, the good thing is here is we don't have, from the first beer, we don't have the astringent bitterness or VDK or anything like that. Let's have a look at the last one. 5AA New World Lager, Kakarot, 13.5. So this is no metal, okay? Persistent chill haze, low head retention, very subtle champagne-like aroma, prominent DMS and acetaldehyde. Very unbalanced flavor. Residual sweetness is too high. Malt disguises any New World hop character. End is cloying. So cloying meaning really, really sweet, okay? All right, so that's basically all of the judge comments. Now, the good news is, Dean, is that there's not really any commonality there, which is good. That if I look at commonalities from the positive perspective, for most of your beers, they all say that you've got great head retention, good foam, and you got to take that win, mate, which is really good to hear, okay? So whatever you're doing with regards to your foam and your head retention, amazing, all right? So now what we'll do is we'll drill into the specifics, right? Because there's no commonalities, can't say to Dean, oh, you need to have a look at your packaging process or anything like that, because all the beers are coming out a little bit different and that sort of thing, okay? So let's start here with this Australian-style pale ale, okay? So we've got 3 out of 3 for appearance, 3 out of 5 for aroma, 3.5 out of 6 for flavor, 2 for technical quality, 2 for style for a 13.5, which is no metal. Okay. Now, having a look at the judges' notes here, color and clarity is good, but head retention is low diacetyl and too high for style. So if I have a look at I know that the Australian style pale ale style guideline says that a small amount of diacetyl is present. Okay. However, in this case, it would probably be too high for the style. Okay. And also the judges noted that the beer is tired and shows signs of oxidation. Bitterness level is okay, but edging on astringent, right? What do you think's going on here, mate?
I've put this one down to the canning.
Yep.
So we canned this 2 days before the judging.
Yeah.
I can understand the astringency and the bitterness. It's probably a touch high for the style. It does cloy on your, the sides of your tongue a little bit.
Yep.
And it's a brand new batch. So the tiring oxidization, we're pretty good with that kind of stuff. And so that's the feedback I was looking for is I think, so we use the benchtop can, purging the cans with CO2.
Yes.
And I think maybe I've made a mistake somewhere in the process of doing that one. Because it's a very bright flavor to the beer.
Yeah, considering that you packaged this beer 2 days before you sent it to the competition and it's showing signs of oxidation within a week of it arriving, that basically shows that there are some issues there with oxygen ingress around your canning process, which would be something that you'd want to take a look at. Now, you're a small brewery, obviously you don't own like a C-box or anything like that, but one of the things that you would probably review is how you purge your cans, for instance, how long the can sits open before the lid or the cover goes on and the can gets seamed, what the foam on the can looks like before the lid goes on. What you want when you're canning beer is you want the nice muffin top foam on top of the beer before you can it. If you see big bubbles on top of the foam, 9 times out of 10, that's going to be air in those bubbles. Then when you put the lid on, it's going to keep that air inside the can, right? Now, when you ingress oxygen into beer to speak to the diacetyl, is that what is probably happening is that you have some residual diacetyl precursor, the alpha acetyl lactate or AAL, in the beer when it gets packaged. And when oxygen is introduced, you've got the AAL, which goes through the oxidative decarboxylation into diacetyl. Okay. Oxidative decarboxylation is you pick up an oxygen and you drop a CO2 from AAL, and that's what turns it into diacetyl, right? So the oxygen is causing the diacetyl. Now, what you might want to consider is, yep, are you using the ALDC enzyme at all in your brewery?
No, we've just switched to AEB stuff. What's it called?
As in yeast-wise, AY4 yeast or something like that?
Yep.
Okay. So I would consider, as a bit of an insurance policy on your beer, is start using the ALDC enzyme. That's alpha-acetyl-lactate decarboxylase. What it does is it grabs the AAL and without it turning into diacetyl, it will turn it into a chemical compound called acetoin, which we can't really smell or taste. We have a much higher threshold for it, all right? It's not going to fix your diacetyl problem, but it's going to, or your packaging issues or anything like that, but it's just going to be an insurance policy on that, I reckon. Pretty well it for that beer is just watch your canning process and consider putting in the ALDC. You notice what I'm saying here is there's nothing wrong with your recipe.
Yeah.
All right. The only thing that's noted here is process, and you're half a point from a bronze medal for this beer. And so if you just made those two little tweaks to your process for that beer, it's going to score higher.
That's it.
Right. And you'd go enter it again and see what happens, basically. Not a bad effort, mate. I wouldn't stress too much for that. The thing is, you've got to put this into consideration. You've got 13 and a half. You're half a point from a bronze medal and you're 2 points from a silver medal. It's not much. So this is a really good one. Let's have a look at the next one. Chili beer. Ah, this is good because this won a gold medal. So we've got 3 out of 3 for appearance, 4.5 out of 5 for aroma, 5 out of 6 for flavor and body, 3 out of 3 for technical quality, and 2.5 out of 3 for style for a total score of 18 out of 20. Nice work, mate.
Yeah.
Just looking at the judges' notes there, and they're saying that the color is great, the foam is great, roast malt dominates the aroma with a hint of chocolate. This is because it's a robust porter. So you've referred to the base style, right? So you're ticking the stylistic things there. Only got docked half a point, probably because of the roast malt dominating. Beer is a bit thin for style. That's probably where you lost a little couple of points with flavor and body. You lost one point with flavor and body. Chili is well integrated because you're in chili pepper beer, and the judges are going to be looking at how the chili pepper integrates with the rest of the beer as a robust porter. 18 out of 20, mate. I wouldn't change a thing. There's nothing to change there. Make more is the is the solution to that. All right. Let's have a look at the next one here. Warwick Bitter, contemporary American style light lager. Silver medal, 16 out of 20. Okay. Judges notes, nice color and foam, but chill haze present. Good head retention with a cloying lace to the glass. Esters are present on the nose, as is sulfur. Light mouthfeel, the subtle malt corn sweetness. Dry finish with low bitterness. Now, let me bring up the BA style guidelines here. So what I'm going to do is drag onto my screen here the BA style guidelines, and let's find contemporary style American light lager. That's the one there. Yeah, there we go. So what I've got on the screen here now is the style guideline, right? And this is the thing, right, is that you might not think that you brewed a style, but you do, okay? And I think I've got a fix for this, mate.
Yeah.
So let's have a look here. So just before we dive into it, tell us a little bit about the beer and what are the ingredients in it, malt and hops and yeast and that sort of thing.
So it's a 90% Pilsner base, 10% dextrose.
Mm-hmm.
Just magnum in the bittery and the boil.
Yep.
Then a tetra hop once we hit terminal and crashing.
Yep.
Then it's 3470 yeast from there. So
yep.
Pretty solid.
It sounds like a beer to me.
That's what it's meant to be.
That's what it's meant to be. Yeah. This is the beer that you did with Beer Quality Bootcamp when you first joined us, wasn't it?
Correct. Yeah.
Well done getting a silver medal for it. Let's have a look at this style guideline here for American style light lager. Okay, so we've got color, very light to medium amber. The word light refers to light body and reduced calories rather than the color. Okay. Clarity, chill haze should not be present. You'll note that the judges picked up some chill haze. Perceived malt aroma and flavor, very low but present. Perceived hop aroma and flavor, very low to low. Perceived bitterness, very low to low. Fermentation characteristics, fruity esters are usually absent but may be present at low levels. Diacetyl, acetaldehyde, and DMS should not be present. These beers are characterized by an extremely high degree of attenuation. Vital gravity is often less than 1 SG or 0 Plato. Body is low to medium low, often with a dry mouthfeel. Additional notes. Corn, rice, or other grain or sugar adjuncts are often used, but all malt formulations are also made. These beers are high in carbonation. Hop attributes, although subtle, are more evident in traditional American-style light lager. Calories should not exceed 125 per 12-ounce serving. Low-carb beer should have a maximum carbohydrate level of 3 grams per 12-ounce, 355 mil. Then it talks about the OG range being 1024 to 1040. Final gravity is 0.992 to 1.1008, or minus 2.1 Plato to 2.1 Plato. ABV is 3.5% to 4.4%. Bitterness is 4 to 15, so very low bitterness. And color should be 1.5 to 12 SRM or 3 to 24 EBC. Okay. Now, let's come back to the judges' notes here. All right. So, you've ticked the box with the color and the foam because they mentioned it twice, right? So, that's good. I reckon that's that Tetra Hop that's doing that thing there. They're saying that the esters are on the nose. And if we look at the style guideline, it says that fruity esters are usually absent but may be present at low levels. So I reckon you're within the range there. So I wouldn't stress about that. You got light mouthfeel, the subtle malt corn sweetness, dry finish with a low bitterness. Okay. So one of the things that bugs me. The judges haven't given you any information as to what you could do to lift the score of this beer. But I have an idea. I think you've entered this into the wrong style class. That's what I think is going on here. Yep. Mainly because if we take a look at your brewery, right, you don't have any filtration or a centrifuge or anything like that, do you? No. All right. So the thing is that the key thing is you actually got a 3 out of 3 for appearance, which is strange because they said chill haze was present, but you had it, which is a little odd, right? And that sometimes happens, right?
Yep.
What was your reason for entering that beer into this class?
It was what I sat there with the manual and I had basically got heavily drunk, just drinking the beers and trying to find which ones fit the description. Pints weren't a good idea, but it's what matched what I was reading to what I was tasting and feeling and smelling at the time.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. It's an interesting one because what's the ABV of this beer?
3.5.
Okay. So knowing the style guidelines the way that I know them, because the beer is not filtered, here's a tip for you for the next competition for this beer. All right, if I go back up to the top of the style guidelines here, and I'm going to go to lager styles, right? I would suggest that you would enter this as a Keller beer. Where are you, Keller beer? Where are you, Keller beer? Sometimes called a Zwickel beer. Here is the style guidelines for this particular competition. You can see how the style classes are broken up into pale ale, amber dark ale, porter stout, hybrid beer. Now you'll see that there's Keller beer or Zwickel beer ale, and you'll see under lager, there will be Keller beer, Zwickel beer, lager, okay? Which is class, in this competition, it's class 5I, right? Let's go have a look at it. This is why I think this beer should go into that. 5I, 5J, 5H, 5I, here we go. Keller beers, Wickle beer, lager. Color varies depending upon the underlying German lager style. clarity can be slightly hazy to moderately cloudy. A small amount of yeast haze is acceptable and traditional. These beers must be unfiltered, but may become clear with age. May exhibit poor head retention, right? Malt aroma and flavor varies depending upon the underlying German lager style. Hop aroma and flavor varies depending upon the underlying style. Dry hop beers are acceptable. Bitterness depends on the underlying style. Fermentation characteristics. Low to medium levels of sulfur should be apparent. Low levels of acetaldehyde or other volatiles normally scrubbed during fermentation may or may not be apparent in flavor and aroma. Subtle or low fruity estuary aromas and flavors may be apparent. Diacetyl should be absent. Kellerbier lagers have low to medium carbonation. Body varies depending upon underlying style, right? Additional notes, okay? Kellerbier lagers are unfiltered lagered versions of German lager beer styles such as Munich Helles, Dunkel, Dortmunder Export, Bohemian Pilsner, and German Pilsner. Sulfur and acetaldehyde should enhance the flavor of these beers. These unfiltered beers are packaged and served with low to moderate amounts of yeast. Contemporary versions may also be filtered and dosed with yeast during packaging, okay? And you'll see all of the OG and Final Gravity and stuff that says varies with style. When you enter a beer in this class, you have to specify what's called a base style, right? For an underlying style, sometimes it's called, okay? And the really good thing about this particular style for you is that you don't have filtration in your brewery, okay? This gives you a leave pass for that, okay? And not only that, it also gives you a leave pass for lots of different things. So for example, the haze, which was noted by the judges, it says that it's now acceptable, okay? So it gives you a leave pass for haze. Then it says low to medium levels of sulfur should be apparent. Well, in your feedback, it said esters are present on those, as is sulfur, okay? So now you've got a leave pass for that, all right? And then it says low levels of acetaldehyde. That wasn't picked up there. Okay. So it's giving you a leave pass for so many different things. Kellerbier gives you a leave pass for poor foam, haze, sulfur, esters, acetaldehyde, right?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, all of those things that were in American style contemporary light lager are now okay. Right. Yep. Now, the question is though, what's the base style that we would put that in? So we've got to find a German style where that beer would go. And I'm going to say it could be German style Lachsbier. Okay, let's have a look at this one. Color straw to pale. Clarity should be clear. We don't need to worry about that. Malt aroma and flavor is low to medium. Would your beer tick that box?
Yep.
Hop aroma and flavor, low to medium. Well, you've only got a bittering addition. Ticks that box. All right. Bitterness, medium. I think you'd be okay there. Fermentation characteristics, fruity estuary and diacetyl aroma should not be present. You're okay there because you get a leave pass as a Kellerbier. Very low levels of sulfur-related compounds are acceptable. Body, very low. That's you.
Yep.
That's that beer, okay? I would say, if we go back to the PDF, you got a 16 for that. You did very well, right?
Yep.
And again, I don't think you need to change this beer, right? Nothing wrong with the recipe. However, if next time you put it into competition, put it in as a Kellerbier lager with the base style German style light beer. Sorry, my German's terrible. And see what happens. It may do better because you get a leave pass for all those things that you're just because of the fact that you don't have filtration in your brewery. Does that make sense?
Yep. Perfect.
Cool. Let's have a look at the next one. Right. Warwick Hazy Pale, Session Beer Reduced Beer. So this required a base style, which was Juicy Hazy Pale Ale. Is that right?
Yes.
Silver medal. Okay. So let's have a look at these judge notes. So you got three out of three for appearance, 3.5 out of 5 for aroma, 4.5 out of 6 for flavor, 2 out of 3 for technical, 2.5 out of 3 for style. Okay. So they dinged some points on the technical quality. Good color, haze, and foam retention. A burnt or stewed hop character reminiscent of over-hot dry hopping or sitting on hops for too long. Balance is good for a reduced alcohol hazy with a fully fluffy texture and no hop burn. Excellent. A little one-dimensional, lacking strong, juicy character. All right. Now, if you have a look at the red line here, you're doing okay, right? You've already got a silver medal. We only need to get from 15.5 to 17 to get a gold medal. It's only 1.5 points, right?
Yep.
What do you think might be going on here?
I know I left it on the hops way too long.
Ah, and the judges picked up on that.
Yeah. And as soon as I read it, I was like, yep, it was a holiday and then I was sick. So I was on hops for probably 5 days too long. Too long.
That's really interesting because I actually encourage judges not to comment on process, but if they specifically pick that up, well done.
Yep. That's pretty much, that's it.
That's fascinating. The thing is, right, is that this is a reduced alcohol beer, okay?
Yep.
And so when a judge evaluates a beer on the basis of it being reduced alcohol, they got to give it a little bit of leeway. You're not going to get the same amount of flavor and aroma and all that sort of stuff as you would with a full strength version of the same style of beer, and which is probably why you scored that well, right? Mate, I think that's it. Is the dry hop time.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it. The beer looks the biz and they're telling you that. They're giving you a 3 out of 3. They're telling you that it's been dry hop for too long. That's a really good pickup there. I wouldn't stress about the one dimensional. That's a little bit subjective. It's a little bit of opinion slipping in there from the judges. But if I was judging that and it didn't have a strong juicy character, again, I'd refer back to the fact that it's a reduced alcohol beer. It's not going to be the same as the full strength version of that same style. And so I'd actually take that comment with a grain of salt. And so again, yeah. Mate, no recipe change required here. It's just this. It just, you got sick.
Yeah.
And stopped in the brewery. That's not your fault, mate. And you still walked away with a silver medal. Yeah. Right. This is a gold medal potential winning beer here.
Yep.
Which is really, really good to hear. Right. Don't change it and try again. That's it. Yeah. Now, this one's really interesting. New World Lager. Okay. So 13.5 out of 20. So no medal. Persistent chill haze, low head retention, very subtle champagne-like aroma, prominent DMS and acetaldehyde, very unbalanced flavor, residual sweetness is too high, malt disguises any New World hop character, ending is cloying. Cloying is a word that they use for sweet. Yep. What do you reckon happened here, mate?
I definitely entered in the wrong category. It was only once I really got the feedback, and every time we enter, I get more understanding of the categories and how they're judged. So it's definitely not a New World lager.
Tell us a little bit about what's in it, malt and hops and yeast and that sort of thing.
So it's basically just a fuller strength version of Warwick Bitter, switching out the dextrose for flaked rice.
Okay.
So it was my sort of jab at like an Asahi. There's no hop aroma in it. It's just Magnum and Tetra hop. We had issues with the glycol. We were doing the glycol upgrade at the time. So the temperatures were all over the shop for about a week, which is when this was intent.
Yep.
Yeah, I entered because it's one of our biggest sellers. It's a full-strength lager in Queensland. And I like it, but then I don't like it, but then I come back to liking it again. So I really want to enter it to see what the feedback was on it. And so I want to make it again and see if I need to make adjustments with either the hopping or even the yeast. Like it's 3470, but we're switching up the AB with a 30 plus and Fern Plus Read.
Yep.
And take it from there.
I wonder if I can find it at home, because I think the two things that sort of stand out for me with this beer is I would agree with you. It's probably, from the way you've described that recipe, it's probably not the right style that you've entered that into.
Yep.
Okay. And then there's a couple of things in here that suggest fermentation faults, right? So the champagne-like aroma and acetaldehyde is one. And the DMS, that's obviously, yes, according to Charlie Bamforth, you can get DMS from fermentation, but mostly DMS comes from malt, and that might be something around your boil time, the vigor of the boil, the length of the boil, or the pH of the wort during the boil. And that would probably just require a bit of a review of your batch notes to see what's going on there. And that's a thing that's easy fixed, DMS, and some fermentation faults there as well. All right.
Yep.
So acetaldehyde is basically incomplete fermentation. So acetaldehyde is one of the chemical compounds that's produced on the ethanol metabolic pathway towards the end. And if it doesn't produce acetaldehyde, it doesn't complete into ethanol, and therefore you get that green apple in the beer. Yep. Fun fact, when we drink ethanol, the first thing that our body does is it turns it back into acetaldehyde, and that's what gives you a hangover. So there you go. So let's find a home for this. Let's find a style home for this. I'm going to say, let's go back up the top here. Lager, lager, lager. Where are you? Here we go. What about international style Pilsner? So international style Pilsner is like your premium Euro lagers. Okay. Yep. They're not, it doesn't necessarily mean lots of hop flavor, but good firm bitterness, full strength alcohol, right? That's where you want to go. 5S, let's have a look here. 5S. Here we go. International style Pilsner. All right, let's see if we tick the box here. Color, straw to gold. We tick in the box there?
Oops.
Yep. Clarity. Appearance should be clear. Chill haze should not be present. How was the clarity of that beer? They didn't, judges didn't note it.
It's clear, crystal clear.
Yeah, good. Okay. Residual malt aroma and flavor. Residual malt aroma and flavor may be present at low to medium levels. What do you reckon?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hop aroma and flavor, low to medium.
That's it.
It's low to medium. Bitterness, low to medium.
Yep.
Let's see how we're ticking all these boxes here. Oh, this is interesting. Fermentation characteristics. Very low levels of DMS aroma and flavor are acceptable. There you go. Fruity esters, yeah. Acetaldehyde, and diacetyl aromas and flavors should not be present. Okay, so you would have got dinged for the acetaldehyde, but we've acknowledged what caused that and how to fix that in the future. But apart from that, good. All right. Yep. Body, low to medium. How do you reckon we go on there? Yeah?
Low body, yep.
These beers are often brewed with rice, corn, wheat, or other grains. Didn't you say this had rice?
Oak rice, yep.
Look at this. Sugar adjuncts may be added during the wort production process. What's the ABV of this beer again?
It's 5.
5. So you're right in smack bang in the middle of the zone.
Yep.
That's the style, mate.
Easy. Easy. Hindsight.
2020 hindsight. That's that beer, mate. Right? So I'm not sure what to think about the champagne-like aroma. I'm pretty sure that if you've got acetaldehyde and you've got this champagne kind of thing, there might have been some fermentation fault happening here. But had you put this into international style Pilsner, you would have got a leave pass for the DMS, or they may have indicated that it might have been high for style at that in worst case scenario. Sweetness is fine, all that sort of stuff. How are you feeling about that, mate?
Yeah, good. Good. It's mightily frustrating that we could have had more awards if it was had it gone to different styles. But again, the feedback's constructive and it's a learning lesson for next year.
It's definitely, mate. And you notice that, like, I don't think once we commented on your recipe or your formulation.
Yep.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? Like, it was basically the improvements that for your beer purely revolve around process, whether it's packaging or fermentation or something like that, or alternatively, putting the beer into the right pigeonhole.
That's it.
And the beers don't need to change. You're already doing a great job, mate. You should be really proud of yourself with that result. And there's, I think if looking at your result from that competition overall, you've got some really quick wins on the board that are going to be really easy for you to implement.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. So the most important question, right, is we've bought some time for Australian International Beer Awards. Have you entered the Australian International Beer Awards before?
No.
Okay, so they come up in Melbourne. And that judging is coming up in early May. I'll actually be heading down this year to judge at that competition. And because of the cyclone we just had, we actually just got an extension to enter. So you've never entered the Australian International Beer Awards before. And one of the trophies that they have available is a trophy called the Gary Shepherd Trophy. And the Gary Shepherd Trophy is awarded to Best New Exhibitor.
All right. Yep.
Yeah, and you only get one shot at it for your first time and that sort of thing, right? You have to enter at least 2 beers, although I'd suggest that you enter 4. One of the beers must win a gold medal, and then they do a points-based system on the number of gold medals, gold, silver, and bronze medals that you win, that they work out who gets that trophy.
I would have a think about it to see whether that's something you feel like you want to give a nudge to,
because the good thing is that with the timing of that competition, you have the time to be able to rebrew between now and then. You don't need to make that decision right now because we're on a bloody podcast, but certainly something to think about. Or at the very least, you've got enough there to make incremental improvements for the Royal Queensland Beer Awards next year.
That's
at the end of the day, I think that's what this is about, is entering competitions is not about entering to win. You've won already because you got good, meaningful feedback about your beer, and us having this conversation and unpicking that feedback, you've got some really easy wins to go and make your beer better. How are you feeling about that, mate?
Yeah, it's good. It's confidence building. Like, and that's the biggest thing I walked away with when we got the gold, two silvers and bronze, was I know I make good beer. I like to think I make good beer, but now it's recognized. Like, we've got a gold medal, we've got two silvers and a bronze.
I was out at your brewery the other week. I know you make good beer. I've tried it personally. So, like, you're doing well. You're absolutely doing well. That's how we decipher judge feedback at the Rockstar Brewer Academy. If that's something that you're interested in learning more about, if you want to kick some butt in your next commercial beer competition and you don't know how, come and have a chat to me. Book in a calibration call if you head to rockstarbrewer.com/calibration. We have members of our community that have World Beer Cup medals under their belt, and the World Beer Cup is coming up very shortly with CBC in Indianapolis. And we have some members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy who have entered, and we'll tell you all about it. And in this particular competition as well, because you were there last week, Dean, is that we had two members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy win trophies in this competition. So we had Dwayne, who won the trophy for Champion Stout, and then we had Reese, who won the trophy for the Best New Brewer trophy, and he got a string of gold medals as well. So this is what we do at the Rockstar Brewer Academy. It's a lot of fun. This is how we improve. We take objective look at our beer. Dean, thanks heaps for joining us today, mate. I really appreciate your time.
Unity. Legend.
Awesome. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. We'll catch you in the next episode. Cheers.